Access number 31445. This is Pat Batley, Reel 4. Now, what about Lookout, when you were on Lookout? Was that on the bridge? I mean, was that...
Yeah.
So what did Lookout duty mean?
Well, you get a segment to say, you know, forward Lookout. You take from the bow to the, you know, the beam. And that was your segment, sort of thing.
What, to 90 degrees?
Yeah, you kept eye on that. All depends, you know, if you see a light, you know, you report the light, you know, and you say, light on the port bow, or short starboard bow, or whatever, you know, and give him the points, like, you know. And of course, they all have a look there, isn't it? And you was looking, and then for an aircraft, you sort of raised them a bit, you know. And, or you reported everything, you know, every lights or things, or if you see a little bit of something floating in the water or something, yeah. All that.
Was that your cruising station, as Lookout, then?
Yeah.
And your action station was in the transmitted room?
Yeah.
And would the officer speak to you, or were you on your own on the bridge? I mean, were you, you know...
No, not really. You just... See, you had the officer to watch... Possibly the old man would be up there, you don't know, he'd be up there, but all depends what state of readiness you was in. Yeah, but usually, if it was a, you know, all you'd have is the officer watch and a midshipman, you know, and then the four lookouts, you'd have the signaller thing, you know, all them, but he'd be on the signal deck. And one messenger. And so he was quite a few on there. Even that was in when you're not in state of readiness.
Did you ever act as messenger, or would you always?
Yeah.
What was that to like? What was the well? It's obvious, but what do you do?
Well, in the main signal office. You see, they. Got the messages and they print them out, sort of thing. You go there and you go round commander's office, engineer's office, wardroom, captain's, you know, thing, the devil thing. All round the ship, where different stations and things like that. You delivered all the messages and then you came back and waited again. Yeah. And plus, it all depends. The commander, he had his own yeoman. You was his messenger boy, sort of thing. You know, you followed him everywhere he went. And if he wanted something, he'd send you. Like say that was his, you know, the commander's yeoman. Same with the gunnery officer, navigator. Or anything, they'd have, you know, yeoman. So there's all different messages kind of that. Yeah.
Now, one thing you mentioned was you were boxing for the Home Fleet. Tell us about that. Tell us about boxing in the Navy General, and then tell us how you got that.
Well, it's what happens, you see. You put... When you're sparring, you go up on the... I think the main deck, something like that, you know, the midships deck. And you know, sparring, you could, you know, you do a bit of exercise and all that of an evening, you know, when you've got something to do. And they say, PTIB there, like, and they say, what's your weight, you know? At that time, I was a lightweight, 9 stone 10. Yeah, you've got to do it, when they pick the, to the Home Fleet, where you had it was in Gibraltar. It was a big warehouse, you know, and they turned it in. They had built a ring in there and things like that. And we were fighting the Home Fleet. They'd fight the Medley Fleet, see, and have a fight between yourself and all sort of thing. And I finished up with having a fight with a strip called the Barossa. He was a cook. And With me, it wasn't no science or nothing. I just panicked. I just went bang, bang, early, you know. And sometimes it come off, you know. I beat this fellow off this cook off the browser. And the dude, I fight him. I thought someone else. Can't remember. Oh, a Marine. Yeah. I fought a Marine. Yeah, I beat him. But then we was, the Vanguard was where we all go on the Vanguard to do our training and all that business. Fucking big and all, but that was one big one. Yeah. Didn't like that one either. Yeah. But I've done well. Didn't do bad.
Yeah. So what else was happening? What about going ashore at Gibraltar?
What was it like? That was a good run. Mind you, when you got all the fleet in there, you know, it was by him. All the, you know, the main road there. There was about four different pubs. They got in pubs, you know. Being all Spanish, the dancers and all night. Oh, you had some good times there, you know.
Did you drink much then?
No, not a lot. I couldn't drink a lot because I used to get drunk quick, you know. It didn't take two pints of my voice, yeah. But apart from that,
How are you getting on with your shipmates? Because, you know, you're the youngest in a mess, you know.
Yeah, but it's, always a bit of a clown, yeah.
A joker?
Clown. I could see the funny side of things. I like it. I had a laugh.
Do you make any special pals that you stuck with? Or?
Oh, yeah. Not so much then in them days. I didn't. But, when I went on further, you know, on.
Okay, we'll leave. But you got on. Were any bullying on the mess day?
No, not really. I suppose there was, you know, I suppose there is, was, but I didn't, I just got on all right.
What about the leading seamen and the petty officers?
Well, they had their job to do. They made sure, you know, it got done. And there was some of them went to extremes, like, you know, that, you know, when you're scrubbing out the mess or something like that, you know, they'd tell you that, come and make some comments or something like that, you know. And this year started looking in the, you know, domestic locker, like, you know, where you kept your bread and all the rest of it. And he would take that all down and clean it, and you'd already just done it, sort of thing, you know, them type of things. That was they used to like. Some of them like that.
Was that leading seamen or is that petty officers?
Leading seamen and petty officers. There's all different types. You know, just some of them are, you know, normal thing, but there were some a bit, tried to be a bit savage, you know.
What about the officers? What were they like?
You didn't have a lot to do with them, tell you the truth. I didn't, you know. I suppose they didn't bother me at all. I'd see them about, of course, when you were special, when you were a messenger, he was in touch with them, but
you didn't contact much with them in a personal level.
You had you see what you call a divisional officer. He was your divisional officer. He was your sort of if you had any problems, you go to him. You know what I mean?
But would you?
And I never really had the time to, but only if, not really. But he was the one who, if he to find out what rating you wanted to go through, say what part of, you know, thing you recommend, your sort of thing, you know, if you were bright enough or something like that, you know. I've always got an old brother.
I should have asked earlier, when you got on the ship, were you seasick at all? I mean, because some sailors are.
Luck would have it. I think the only time, you know, I wasn't sick, but I used to get a muggy head, like, for first day or so, you know, just that muggy head, and, you know, but not sick. I was never touched wood.
Were a lot of other
all
people?
All the years I was at sea.
Anybody else? Were there other people sick?
Oh, yeah. And it's a bad thing. They just can't help it. It's something to do with their balancing in their head or something like that. And one chap, he joined us about the same time as me, and he went through, see. But he got discharged for it. Yeah, he was chronic sick, you know. He couldn't even get in a rowing boat or nothing. He just, you know, straight away.
So, anything else about the Superb?
No, I don't really.
Were you on a long?
I think I was on it for about 12 months, 6 months, or something like that. I went out to the Royal.
So still 48 still?
Yeah, but as I say, I know I went to the Far East in 49.
Who with?
Huh?
Was that with the Belfast?
Yeah, but I didn't go with the Belfast, I went out on the thing, but before that I'd done a little bit of DQs, detention.
Tell us about that then.
Oh, I went down Opin or somewhere like that, or Picking or something.
Tell us about it, now, if you don't mind.
This is what I guess I was just sort of...
From where? From the Superb?
Yeah.
Oh, from Chatham?
Chatham, the Superb was in Chatham at the time. And I went... my family, well, my sister-in-law and brother and all that down there, they was all down hot picking in Kent. So I thought, I'll go then. So I just jumped the bus and I went, found my way down there. And I stayed down there for about 3 or 4 weeks.
Hot picking?
Hot picking, yeah.
I mean, did you know you'd be in trouble?
Oh, yeah. But I'm not, that was my nature. I just didn't give a shit like it. But the point was, I come back to London, and then I got picked up by the shore patrol.
Did you give yourself up, or...?
No, I was picked up by the shore patrol.
Had you any intention of going back to the Navy?
Oh, yeah.
But you was...
I wouldn't, you know, deserve.
You weren't deserted. You were AWOL, not deserted.
Yeah, I was just doing... Anyhow, I got back. And I went... This is where I think. I went, I got 21 days detention. That was down at Pompey, you know, in the Royal Naval Detention Centre down there. It was in the dockyard. And I'd done that. It was
what was it like? Because we haven't interviewed
him. It was stupid. All you'd done was train, you know, bomb, climbing thing and took all that, running around and all the rest of it. But I was, at that time, with all the thing I'd done, I was pretty fit and I couldn't. Most of these warders or the guards were, they called them instructors, Marine colour sergeants, Marine sergeants, you know, they've all done their time more or less, and they're coming towards the end of their time, and that's, of course, they were all billeted ashore, like, you know, our homes, they all had their homes there. Oh, they were wicked bastards. It's all stupidness. And the best of it was, when I did that boxing, I had smoked before then, but I never smoked. I'd give smoking up. I never went. But in there, one of their thing was, you got a ration of 2 fags a day or 3 fags a day or something like that. But I was a non-smoker, so they couldn't. They'd leave it on. But this big Marine colour sergeant, he was the chief of staff. Like, oh, what a terrible man! Tiny, they called him. He was a huge man, and his voice, you could hear it all over Portsmouth, like, you know, and he'd all that business, because I never smoked, so he couldn't fucking pull one on me. He'd, oh, there's not many left, you know, all that business. He'd leave them there with the thing, with the trying to dare and drop the that end, like, they couldn't drop it. you'd get the sweeper go around with a tin of something, you know, and they'll put their doggies in it, like. But you know, oh, wicked bastard. Yeah, they were, you know, some, not, they were, you know, there was POs, officers that, you know, that was all right, like, you know, all the thing. But I don't know what it was. It's just them, you know, Marine colour sergeants and that, they're wicked bars.
And it was 21 days, was it?
Yeah, 21 days.
And then after that, did you go back to the Superb, or did you go to...
No, this was the Vigs, you see. While I was away, I scuppered up my kit and that, and they put in the thing at barracks, at Chatham Barracks. I came back from detention, I went into the barracks, drew my kit, you know, where they put been stowed, and they said, you're on draft. I said, well, I'll give us a chance if I can get here at first, like, you know. And so anyhow, next thing I knew, I'd done all the leaving routine, all the thing.
Now, what is the leaving routine?
Well, you had to go around the different offices, you know, and get this chit and that chit and all the rest of it and all the everything else.
So and all that. This is all 49, the Royal Naval Detention Centre, and this is all in 49. Yeah, gotcha.
And then I was still under punishment, so I couldn't go ashore or anything. I was still, although I was punished. And that next day, I'd done all my leaving routine and everything like that. I went down to Slops, got issued with whites and all the rest of it, you know, all the white ducks and all that business. I thought, what's all this? And he said, you're going to the Far East. I never even went home or anything, I never got to see. Next couple of days afterwards, they put us on a train to Liverpool, and I was on the, I think it was the, I forget the name of the trooper, it was the Devonshire, I think it was, and away I went to the Far East.
In a draft, or just on your own?
No, not on a draft. I joined the draft, like, you know. Yeah.
Still an OS, ordinary seaman.
Yeah.
Now, what do you remember of the trip out in the Devonshire?
Oh, it was fucking horrible. But, it was all cramped. There was so many, there was RAF on there.
What was the accommodation like?
It was all standees. It's all,
what do you mean, like, by that?
It's like a little fold-up bunks, you know, and they off a post in this big hold, like, you know. And it was all, you know, we had to go in gangs and get good grub and all that. They did a grub and all. And it was one of the Bibby line. That was run by the RAF, that boat, and it wasn't all that clever. And, but they had, what happened to the folks there, they had the Gurkhas, a load of Gurkhas, with their families. Didn't say you had RAF, and then you had the women and kids up there, and you were going out to join the thing, you know.
How bad was it on that cramp when everyone started being sick?
Oh, it was.
Well, not you, but I mean, you know.
Yeah, it was bad. Yeah, down below. It was just, you were just packed in like cattle, you know what I mean?
It's a long old trip as well.
Yeah, I can't think of the way out of it. I know we stopped off at, I think we stopped at Aden, and then I went down somewhere else, Singapore. Some got off here and got there.
Did you get ashore anywhere, or were you still under
pressure? No one could go ashore. You went up to, we finished up in Hong Kong, and that's where I joined the Belfast. Yeah.
Nothing else about the trip out?
No, but there was a, you know, they had the usual things, the arsey-arsey, things, and, you know, bits and things, you know, little things and all that business, yeah. And I did, I won a arsey-arsey thing, I think it was about 15 bob or something like that. That was the first money I had from me. I never had no money.
So what happened when you got to Hong Kong then? Is that where you joined the Belfast?
Yeah, I joined the Belfast.
As an ordinary seaman?
I think I picked my AB's rate up out there. Yeah. Yeah, that was 18.
Now, what were your first impressions of the Belfast? I mean, we can see her today, but what was she like then?
She was a tiddly ship. She was a good-looking ship. She was, well, you know, she had a good name and all, you know. But It was strange at first.
So you joined her at Hong Kong. I mean, what did you think of her? You know, inside, you know.
Oh yeah, well, I'd say, I'd been on the Superb and I'd been on the, and, you know, I knew what living like on a ship was. I wouldn't, it was the, and I come across a few fellas like from the East End, and one of them, Johnny Horsley, he I knew him from, you know, Poplar. Yeah, and then funny, and then another geezer, Bert Bing, oh, I can't think his name now. There's a few I knew around, you know, what I joined with and things like that. It was good, you know.
Now, which mess deck were you put on?
I was on number 11 mess on the quarterdeck division, yeah.
Now, what was number, can you just describe number 11 mess then?
Well, you see, in the mess deck, there's all tape, there's tables. And each table, you know, it's a table you hang up, you know. I think there was about 10 of us, 10 of them. Anyhow, that was your mess. That was number 11. Had another one there and another one there, you know, three or four. That was your mess.
In one big room?
In mess deck. You know, you had a mess deck. You had, and as I say, the it was in the middle. And as you said, the different messes up there. I think the other, that we was on the port, they were on the starboard side, and they was on the other side, the port side. I think there was Stoker's mess in there, you know. And then there was a mess deck underneath us, and then the next deck down. And it was all, but that was how the messing was. You know, that table was your mess, and you kept that clean, that part was done, the same thing.
Has it changed much now? Have you been back to see where it is?
Yes, it's changed all around. I haven't been down to get down to the mess deck I was on. I haven't been to get down there. I don't think they've got it open yet. I've been on the Belfast about two or three times, whenever Wednesday, if I've got nothing to do, sort of thing, you know, if I'd just jump the ship, the bus and go on there, because it don't, I'll go aboard.
So, tell me about that then. So what, when you joined, what happens when you join a ship like the Belfast?
Well, it's the same thing.
How's it organised?
Yeah, as I say, you get your pilot ship, you know, the quarterdeck, you get designated your pilot ship. Like, I got put down the quarterdeck.
So you were the quarterdeck division?
Yeah. And then as I say, you go to the other office, the commander's office, and you get your card, your join card, that tells you your action station, as I say, your division, what you see, and I had no rating then at that time. Just nothing, and that's it. Like, you know, you just get all the little partnership on what jobs you got, you know. And I got mistake cleaning, you know, that's all the passageways and all that, you know.
Was that your
that is it? Just they give you that little bit, and next was the galley, passageway sort of thing, you know. Just outside the
galley.
Was
that a bad job or a good job?
You just kept that clean. You only scrubbed it once in the morning, like, but you had to go around with all polishing and everything like that. But you didn't do nothing else. Oh, it wasn't a bad job. Yeah. But
was that all you had to do all day?
Well, yeah, and possibly, you know, turn to. We were on some other decks and that, you know.
Now, what was your action station? Because you'd have
that was on. I was on the S1.
Now, what's the S1?
It's a 4.5 gun.
Is that a turret S1 or an open one? Is that
open one? Yeah. You got S1 and S2. It's got a starboard one and one and two. Yeah, That was my action station.
And what were you on the gun? Were you just a loader or
no? I was a fuse setter.
Now we didn't mention that, but yeah. Tell us about fuse setting. That'll probably do it for today.
As I say, the stuff comes down from the director, it goes down to the TS, and it comes back up from the TS onto the gun, you see? And the range and that is might be opening or closing all the time, so the pointer is thing. So you got to keep that on there until he says set, And that, once it's set, he's got the shell on the fuse machine, and the loads have got it on there. And as soon as you say set, bonk, and you put the thing, and that twists the top of the thing, the fuse, that clamps it and twists it to a certain degree. That's then taken off and loaded, and then it's fired whenever.
So it's a mechanised process.
Yeah. That is.
Did you find that reasonably easy?
After a while, yeah. It's the only thing is you're cramped. You see.
What do you mean?
Well, I could show you on the belt. I said, you're standing you're in the shell sort of thing, but it's all open here. But you're standing in a little trough like that. See. And you can't run anywhere. But that's it. You've got the layer of the truck. He sits there, and you've got
to your left.
Yeah, he's the layer and trainer,
They're setting the wheel.
They do it if they're in. But it's moved by the TS. All this or the director. The gun itself, the elevator door.
So what are they doing then?
Well, if it's a breakdown, then it goes into manual control.
Usually it's operated, as you said, by the transmitting station, and they're just sitting there then, are they?
Well, more or less, yeah. But they've got their eye up, they've got telescopes and everything.
So they're checking as well?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The only thing with it was, on the Belfast, over the top, you had a 4-8 barrel pom-pom, and when that's a close range, and you was down underneath it, and when that went off, pom-pom, it got someone in on the back of the head.
What was the noise like when you fired? Did it affect your ears at all?
No, not really.
Sounds like the pom pom was worse.
Yeah, the pom pom was worse because it was funny. But when of course it went, it was just a